Welcome to the Angus Table, the podcast from Angus Australia. I'm Scott Wright, the CEO at Angus Australia. Each episode will bring conversations with breeders, industry leaders, innovators, insights, stories and ideas that matter and hopefully add value to your Angus operation. Whether it's genetics, markets, pasture management, marketing experts or people shaping the breed, this is where the Angus community pulls up a chair at the Angus Table. Thanks for joining us. Welcome to the Angus Table today. We're joined by a very special guest who's very well known to the Angus Australia membership, our president, Sinclair Munro. Welcome to the podcast, Sinclair.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. Great to be here. And just firstly, like to say, I'm very proud to be president of Angus Australia, representing 4,000 members in this member-based organisation. Angus is in my veins, and I really like giving back to the Angus breed, and because the Angus breed has given so much to our family. So it's really, really proud moment to be president of Angus Australia.
Thank you, Sinclair. And you've had a chance over the last 2 years to meet a large proportion of the membership through a lot of visits around Australia and particularly the World Forum. So many people that will be listening to today's podcast will have had the chance to get to know you in person, which has been a great hallmark of your time as president. Sinclair, we hatched this plan together to have a discussion following a recent board meeting. So the Angus Table is a good way to reach the membership. And in March, the end of March, we had a board of directors meeting in Sydney, and we thought we'd use this platform so that the members could get a bit of an understanding of the outcomes from that board of directors meeting and a little bit of a look into how the board functions and what's its key roles. So Sinclair, maybe before we kick off this morning, would you like to just give a bit of an overview of the function of a board of directors meeting and how that works?
Yeah, thanks, Scott. I'd just like to say the board of directors, I'd like to thank the board of directors for their time they spend and the due diligence they spend in Angus Australia. We've got a board that works really well together. The board is elected by the membership, and that's really important to note that the members elect the board of directors, and then the board itself then elects the chairman and the vice chairman. And we also have a number of committees within that board, which includes genetic improvement, audit and finance, marketplace, risk and organisational review, and member engagement. So the board, in their first meeting as a board each year, divides into these committees. They have committees that further go that are, we have committee meetings 3 weeks before a board meeting. So some work is done in the background before the actual board meeting. But essentially the board of directors are there to have oversight of Angus Australia. The board of directors focus on strategy, risk and compliance, policy, and providing oversight to the oversight and development to the executive team. And our main man is Scott Wright. So we really, the board employee is our CEO, which is you, of course, Scott. And then Scott's responsible for carrying out our strategic plan and our vision, Angus for Every System. And he employs staff, and he's got staff under him, such as Carl Tesney, our Chief Operating Officer. And then we have Catherine Duddy, our Senior Business Manager. And under those departments, we've got genetic improvement, extension, member services, information, marketing, communications, admin, internal accountancy, and business development. But essentially, the board is really giving guidance and oversight to our CEO. And we work a lot on strategy in our meetings. We have 4 meetings a year, and we've designated a section to our meeting to strategy because we're not so much operational, we're more strategy and oversight. So it's really important that as directors we understand that. It's so part of our director, being a director of Angus Australia, we go through training. So I myself completed the Australian Institute of Company Directors course, and it was quite intense, but that was a really, really good thing for the board to have the president to undertake that course. And going forward, we have a lot of board training. But, so that's a bit of a background of the board, but essentially the board is elected to represent the members of Angus Australia, and that's the really strength of Angus Australia. It's a member-based organisation working for our members, for the benefit of the Angus breed.
No, thanks for that overview, Sinclair. That's a pretty comprehensive look. I guess for the members' benefit, we have four board meetings a year. We have one in March, which is essentially an audit review from our financial audit and a strategy session. Then we have our main board of directors meeting, which is the first following election and our AGM. We have an August board meeting, and then we have a November board meeting, which involves a lot of planning for the next coming 12 months. Sinclair, I wondered if you might just give the listeners a bit of an idea. What does a day as a board meeting look like?
Yeah, so Scott, probably need to step back a little bit from that. There's a lot of work done by our directors before the meeting starts. But our directors do a lot of reading. We get a lot of papers from our staff, this through the CEO. So we do a lot of reading and understanding, and we also have done some work in the background before the meeting starts through our committee meetings, which is pretty important to do a lot of work before we get to the board and to the board meeting. And the board meeting then is to sort of go through and we have some issues that are brought up, and so discuss at the board table to get a diversity of views. But to start with, the board starts with looking at themselves in the meeting. So we probably the first thing is declaring any interests or conflicts of interest, directors' declarations, so they're up front. And then we go to a board performance review. So we need to try to make things work better every meeting. So we had a board performance review to start with. And then we go back and look at the previous meeting that we've conducted and any questions on the business arising from the previous minutes. Probably we go through the outstanding actions list from those business arising from the previous minutes. Then we have a really open discussion with the CEO in the room, and that is to direct the key issues and observations. And we like to get them able to, our directors to tell us their observations and the key issues that they're feeling for their membership and what's going on. So that's a really good way to start board meeting as well. We then go on to a board in camera session. So that session is the CEO leaves the room, and the directors can really essentially talk about the CEO and the performance of the CEO. And if they've got, it gives them the opportunity to openly discuss things without being looked upon by any staff members. So that's in camera session, and some valuable insight comes out as in that as well. And for the board in camera session. And then I normally, as chairman of the board, will talk to my CEO one-on-one, give him some feedback about that, the board in camera session. We've changed the meeting a little bit in the last few years. We want to continually improve things, and we believe we've brought our CEO, we have a CEO board report next, and so our CEO, Scott, gives us his report, which is in length, and that's a big part of the meeting. That's an hour. And so Scott will go through a number of things through the CEO board report, and we will discuss openly, question what's going on there. So I don't know, Scott, whether we, from there, do you want to talk about your report from our last meeting and just the main issues?
Yeah, no, thanks, Sinclair. No, certainly happy to do that. It's a pretty big business, as you know, the members will know. We've got 4,000 members around Australia, and we've got about 37 staff. We've got a lot of programs going on at any one time. We, through my last board report, and what I tried to do for the board is give them an update with regards to every department that's going on. And there's a lot of detail. Honestly, there's a lot of reading for board members to do, a lot of preparation in the board committees coming up to the meeting, and then there's a lot of reading. What I try to do with my CEO board report is to condense it so they can get an idea of the key changes and the key issues that are arising in the business. For example, if we have a staff member leave, so in the last quarter we had a couple of staff movements, so I'll identify that with the board. We might have, and just at the moment, there's a lot of change in the genetic evaluation space. So this particular meeting, we had an update in relation to our Heifer Select and some of the changes that we're offering to our commercial product there. There's a real sensitivity with the membership with regards to Heifer Select. It's a great tool. We've gone to one percentile reporting following a board decision, but we've also been looking at how do we best represent those animals. And quite rightly, some of our seed stock members were very concerned that we were giving all that good information away, and that perhaps commercial producers weren't understanding how those animals ranked against seed stock animals. So we had a very healthy discussion around how do we market that product. And there's a 5-year rolling average of females with a Heifer Select product, and it's not at all comparable to the values of the seed stock animals. So to make great genetic improvement, we've got to do a better marketing job with regards to educating commercial people where they find those good genetics to lift their herd going forward. So big discussion with regards to that.
Scott, can I just elaborate on that as well?
Because absolutely,
that's a real passion of mine. Heifer Select is a great commercial tool for our commercial producers. But the big thing is connecting that with using the right or best registered Angus bulls to increase their make genetic improvement in their commercial herd. So to me, I find that the registered Angus bull is probably the main driver of where you're going to go in your herd. And to fine-tune that, you can use Heifer Select as a commercial tool. So it's really important to members know that, you know, the main one is to use registered Angus bulls, but to fine-tune it, just use the Heifer Select for the heifers, commercial heifers. So, yeah.
No, that's a great point, Sinclair. And as a society, as a side point, we've been pushing the use of registered Angus bulls. And interestingly, Sinclair, recently I got some commentary from the other breeds that were very appreciative of our ads about using registered Angus bulls. And so you take the unpredictability out of making decisions if you're buying unregistered bulls. So we're trying to really back our seed stock members in that regard. Sinclair, also we talked about the consolidation in the genomic company space. So members will have seen that it's the intention of Zoetis to purchase Neogen later this year. That's a significant strategic issue for us because we were concerned that that takes competition out of the marketplace. So that's ongoing, that acquisition process, and I believe that'll come to fruition at September this year. So what that does is removes another independent provider from the marketplace. We've been proactive in welcoming in to our offering of products this year the Weatherby's organisation. So we still think that going forward we've got good competition for genetic and genomic services in that space. We had a discussion around that. We had some feedback from our Genetic Evaluation Consultative Committee, and Sinclair might talk a little bit more about that later on. We've got a new group of services to members, which you'll see under the Angus Tech database login as Angus Online. And members now are able to do their own registrations, importing of taste data and transfers and some other work, fading of animals and such forth. So we told the board that was now live, and that follows a good focus group test period leading up to the release to all members. So that was a fairly good innovation. It's been probably a long overdue, but it's now active for members in Angus Tech.
Yeah, I might just add to that, Scott, is that since I've been on the board since 2022, we're really working hard to develop systems and improve our digital platforms. And we really want to improve them and continue to improve them. It's no easy task. And as Scott said, it probably takes longer than we expect to, but that's a bit of a part of IT. I think I've spoken to a lot of other people in other businesses, and IT is a very difficult thing to get right. It's a changing platform, but we need to improve our digital platforms, and so you, our members, can interact with the society more easily and efficiently. And also, so we can provide our services at a lower rate, so it doesn't cost as much money. So it's very hard if we keep manual systems up. I mean, cost of doing things manually is very expensive. So the improving our digital platforms is really essential to the board, and we talk about that at every meeting.
Thanks, Sinclair. We had just an overview of our marketing and communications, and most members will be aware that we had Caroline Lane join Angus Australia as Marketing and Communications Manager in November. She just joined us just in time for the November board meeting. But it was good to have a discussion with the board about how the changes are, things like our social media. We've got a very active presence. Is that sometimes too much? Not enough? So we have good, healthy discussions at a board level with relation to that. We talked about some of the changes. And members can find that in our weekly about the way that we operate our sale catalogues going forward. We had a good innovation last year using the pivot organisation, and we took some feedback that we needed to increase our offering to other providers. And so this year there'll be several providers in that space alongside Pivot that are able to operate and assist members to do their sale catalogues. So there'll be quite a bit in 2026 that'll be coming through in that marketing and communications space. I always give the board an update on the export certification of Angus heifers. That's a small part of the business, but a very important one. It looks like there is some reasonable numbers, despite the healthy cattle price this year. There is some Angus heifers being exported through those southern-based companies out of Portland, Victoria, and that's great for the industry. And members might recall in 2018, 19, in 2020, that market underpinned a soft cattle market. So it certainly puts a base in commercial Angus heifers in the south for our members. So that's an important one. With regards to the Angus sire benchmarking program, there's a number of changes that will happen there. We've just finished a long-running partnership with Rangers Valley. Rangers Valley was acquired by Stanbroke Pastoral, and they've got a different strategic direction. So going forward, we're securing a new partnership with a different feedlot and processor, but we would take the opportunity to thank the Rangers Valley for such a long partnership with Angus Australia. 15 cohorts of Angus steers going through Rangers Valley. So it's been a great partnership, and we've got some good plans under Liam Mowbray going forward. So that program will continue, but it'll have a different operator that we'll work with going forward. We talked about, and members will see, there's been some changes with regards to the breed content of Angus marketing through AusMeat, through the Label and Standards Committee. So we talked briefly about that. There is another podcast where that is explained by Ben Robinson from AusMeat, so I'll draw the members' attention to that. But as part of that, we've been working on a verification by DNA for meat processes going forward. So that's a very exciting initiative that members will see through the course of 2026. We updated the board on our AGM plans, which will be at Ballarat in the last week of May this year, on the 25th of May. So we look forward to seeing members there. There'll be a members' day and a number of sessions. So we'd love to see as many members come along as we possibly can. It's worth noting that the board had a real heart to have a AGM and a members' day in Victoria this year, because we could see that, because of the seasonal conditions when the World Angus Forum was taking place, that a lot of the southern-based members were feeding cattle and they weren't able to attend all the events. So that was a very purposeful decision to have more programs in the south to capture those members that couldn't really take part in the World Angus Forum. We have we've recently held the Angus Youth Roundup, which was fantastic again in January, and we have a future direction strategy workshop later this month, so I updated the board with regards to that one.
Yes, Scott, I might just talk a little bit about that. I mean, the youth is so important for Angus Australia going forward, and in a way we're a victim of our own success. The Roundup has grown so much, and it's a massive event. So we thought as a board we need to get together and really embrace with a future direction strategy of the Roundup, what we want to get out of the Roundup and what we want to achieve. So because it's been such a successful event, and it's massive. So it's going to be very interesting, that workshop. So we've got a wide range of people coming to that workshop to develop a future strategy. I think that's really important, that as a board we identify things that are going right and how we can improve them. I think there's going to be some good improvements. Even though the Roundup's been so successful, we think we can have a strategy to make it even better in maybe probably a different way.
Yeah, thanks, Sinclair. We had an overview of our extension as well programs. Brad Horn, Dr. Brad Horn, joined us towards the end of 2025. He's doing a great job in the field assisting Nancy Crawshaw. And we just had a quick discussion around some of those programs going forward. We will be holding some workshops through Central Queensland. The idea is Roma, Longreach and Emerald done this year, really to educate commercial producers in that part of the world what we're doing as an Angus breed and to help them choose the appropriate Angus genetics for their operation. And it's a great growth area for Angus is Central Queensland. So we're looking forward to that. And we might note that Jake Phillips, he's been a great asset to Angus Australia. And Jake has moved from a full-time employee to subcontractor to Angus Australia. So members will still see Jake taking care of some programs for us, but he's not full-time and he's doing that on a contract basis. So it's great to keep Jake on the team, but just a slight shift in look and feel in that team. We've got we've had discussions with Red Angus. I think it's quite been well discussed across the industry. The Red Angus are making a decision shortly whether they'd become part of Angus Australia. We're looking forward to that, and I've certainly presented at a recent online meeting with Red Angus, so we updated the board with regards to that. We had a discussion around New Zealand and Angus Pro, which are very important members to Angus Australia, so there's always a few key strategic things to discuss in that environment, which is it's good for the board to keep abreast of. There was a couple of staff that finished up. We always have a report on human resources. So we said goodbye to Zintra and Kate Reynolds, Nikki Wallace and Christopher, who was our IT manager for 10 years. So they've gone on to other things and there's a transition there. So Catherine Duddy, our human resources manager, always updates the board and keeps them abreast of what's going on. And for good reason, because if people move on, the board needs to know that things are being handled in a good way with good governance and that there's no key issues there to be aware of. This particular meeting, and Sinclair will talk more to this a little later, but we talked a lot about where Angus goes as a breed, and I had written an Angus strategic value paper for the board about the Angus system, about the value that's captured right across the supply chain by the Angus brand. So we certainly have an Angus premium, and that is there. It's not there for obscure reasons. It's there because Angus beef delivers for the consumer, both on a marbling and a tenderness front, but also the Angus breed provides value through the supply chain in terms of all the traits, but growth rate, performance, feed conversion efficiency. There's a very marketable product for those businesses. There's fertility traits that are captured, and it's a very simple system for our commercial beef breeders to utilise. And the paper is trying to just talk about the way that the Angus premium is shared right across the supply chain from the brand owners to the processors to feedlots to backgrounders, cow-calf operators to the seed stock sector, which invest heavily in genetics and research to continue to make genetic progress. So that's important in the light of some other strategic thinking that we're doing as a breed. So we had a good, healthy discussion around that.
Yeah, I think, Scott, I think people underestimate what Angus Australia has done for the overall profitability of the Australian beef industry. And our seed stock members, of what they've done, the data they've captured, their disciplined breeding programs have caused so much genetic improvement in the Australian beef industry. And there's over 50% of the Australian beef herd, cow herd, is infused with Angus genetics. And it's quite extraordinary. And we've made huge improvements to calving ease, growth, carcass quality. And also down the supply chain, the Angus brand is so strong that our processors are getting a premium for Angus branded products. And just behind all that is our genetic evaluation, our data capture, our members recording data has really added value to the whole beef industry. And it's really important to note that, is that we need to keep reminding ourselves that we need to keep continually improve. But our members have created this increased profitability in the whole supply chain. And I think it's a credit to our members, and the members work very hard and very passionate. And I think we need to be reflected a little bit more in the industry that what Angus Australia has done and what we will do in the future with the right tools for our members. So it's so important, and at an on-farm profitability level and also the whole industry profitability level right down to the supply chain and export markets all over the world. It's a credit to Angus Australia's members.
It's a good point, Sinclair. And I think the key for me is it's not any one individual or one organisation, but it's been a really collective work on the Angus breed for a long period of time. At the World Forum, we presented some data, and on average, an Angus steer returns $185 more to a producer than steers of other breeds. And over that period of time, we've seen quite a dramatic improvement in weaning, yearling weights and full weights. I'm often reminded, Sinclair, of your previous president, Sam White, and he said when he started back on his farm, they'd be selling steers at 20 months and now feeder steers are going at 14 months. And if you want to capture genetic improvement in a quick sentence, that's a great capture, is that's efficiency front and centre, and the breed has done a great job.
Yeah, I agree with Sam, what he's saying there. We've seen that a lot of our herds in the industry is we're selling the cattle at the same carcass weight or the same weight 10 to 12 months earlier, but they're still achieving the same carcass quality, the marble score. So it's not only good for the consumer, it's good for the whole industry, it's good for sustainability industry, the weight for age. And at the same time, calving ease is still good. So, and it's really what's driven that is the genetic evaluations that we do on our cattle. And it's really important that we don't rest on our laurels. We need to keep improving our genetic evaluations so that they're relevant and efficient, reliable for our members to use, because without a reliable genetic evaluation, you're not able to make that genetic improvement on a number of traits at the same time. So, and in doing that, we also have to have people collecting the data, the phenotype, and using the available technologies like genomic enhanced technologies, genetic enhanced EBVs. And it's really, really important that we have a very good Angus evaluation, genetic evaluation that identifies the best cattle for best Angus cattle for a number of traits. And going forward, that will increase the profitability of the Angus infused cattle as well. So important that we get our evaluations right.
No, thanks, Sinclair. I think sometimes Angus breed has been very undervalued in terms of the contribution to profitability across the industry. And when I meet with people from a range of sectors, they're always very quick to remind me of that. Sinclair, that's pretty much what I tend to do. We'll also present financials to the board, some key metrics. So each of the departments, we've got key metrics, so we give those to the board so they can get a sense of the numbers and what's going on in the organisation. Sinclair, we have a range of discussions and papers that we put to the board.
Yes.
If you might like to go through some of those outcomes from this latest board.
Yeah, so each meeting's a little bit different, but the March meeting is primarily going through last year's. It's an audit and finance is a big session in the March meeting. So that is we have our auditor comes into the room after morning tea, after the CEO board reporting comes in, and we go through his audit findings. It's very important for a member-based organisation to have an external auditor to look at our books and go through them all with a fine tooth. And he gives our summary of audit finance. A lot of them, we've done a great job, and just any little things that we need to improve in, he'll let us know. We go through our financial statements for 2025. We went through them, and we did expect a loss with the World Angus Forum. And so we identified that, and the report we put to our members, I think, early May, and there was a loss for the World Angus Forum. But the board backed the World Angus Forum. We believe that we needed to invest in the breed and on behalf of our members. And I think it was a great event. And the board really got behind the CEO and our staff. And we said we need to invest our members' money wisely in this, but we need to do a great job. And, I mean, people from all over the commercial industry in Australia, I've got commercial producers that were part of the forum, and they really got a real buzz out of it, and us sea stock producers did as well. Overseas people got a real buzz out of the World Eggs Forum, but it did, you know, it did cost substantial amounts of money, and that's reflected in the financial statements for 2025. We're also going through a period of structuring. We had a big growth in Angus Australia. Numbers were going up, up, up. Last year there was a little steady off on our growth of our inventory numbers, and we're just going to be mindful of that. That we move our costs where our revenue are. So it's quite easy on a business when it's going up and up and up, is that your costs will follow. But when they plateau out, the revenue plateaus out, it's very important as the board and the CEO then fine-tune the costs. And so we're looking at ways of doing that, and there's a lot of ways that we're trying to make it bring our costs back in line with the slowdown on our growth. But there are, in saying that, there are other ways we're looking forward of more revenue coming in, which will add value to members' business as well. So, yeah, and that was quite a interesting discussion about our financials. We also in part of that session, we actually asked the staff to leave, and we have a one-on-one discussion with the board and the auditor, because we just want to make sure that everything's clear-cut, that the staff aren't getting too involved with the auditor, if you know what I mean. So we have a sort of in-camera session with our auditor to make sure that he's really happy with what the staff are doing, and there is this clear messaging back to the board. We then went on to a couple of other finance items. We've decided to employ an investment advisor. We need to keep some funds in our business, and we need to invest them wisely, but with adequate risk that's not too risky, but give a reasonable return. So we have an investment advisor to balance our profile and to understand our liquidity needs in the event of if an unforeseen event comes across, that we make sure we have enough liquidity in our business. So we've got that, and then we did a paper that on late inventory fees, and I don't know, Scott, if you want to talk about that briefly, that late inventory fees, because it's been a little of a bugbear for staff, the late inventory. Do you want to talk about that, Scott?
Yeah, thanks, Sinclair. As members might know, we have a inventory that is sent to members for autumn and spring, and then we ask members to fade off the females that might be leaving their herd, and then we have a bill date where the active females in their herd are billed. Now, that works pretty well. A lot of members do complete their inventory forms and they adjust the inventory so the records are accurate. But we always have for members that for one reason or another are late, so the inventory is billed, and then they'll come to us after the event and say there's certain females need to be taken off their inventory. It's always an issue with what to do with that, because we've got members that submit their inventory on time and are good record keepers, and then we have people that often come to us and ask for a credit on their inventory after the event. It's difficult for staff to sometimes know what to do with that more often than not. And so we put a paper to the board, and we think it's a fair and reasonable change that going forward from the spring inventory 2026, later this year, that if a member submits a late submission of fates after the bill date, they will receive only a 50% reduction in what those cows were billed. We think it's fair so that it still gives the member a financial advantage by submitting those fates, but also it rewards those people that do the recording by the bill date. So that'll be a change later this year, and there'll be some information that'll go out in the weekly well ahead of time. There'll be some information in the winter bulletin that'll explain that change. So that's to try and get some fairness so that as a business we can plan and budget for the inventory, but members that might have a good reason for putting in things late are not completely adversely affected. They get a 50% rather than the 100% when members do it on time. So I hope that's clear, Sinclair. And yeah, I hope it's a good and helpful change, and it takes a bit of the emotion out of it. It means that the staff have got a policy they can work towards.
Yeah, no, thanks, Scott. So then we broke for a very brief lunch after we did that issue paper, and Yeah, it's very brief. It's a full-on day, the board meetings, and when they're two-day meetings, we're there to work, and we had a very brief lunch, and then we moved on to our strategy session. So we've introduced that as a part of the board meeting, and thanks to Ben Connaughton, he's from New Zealand, and he suggested this idea, because previously we used to have a strategy and risk committee, but Ben and I discussed this, and we believe that it's best that when you're talking strategy, we have a strategy session at every board meeting we have and not have it as a committee meeting. So we still have a risk and organisational review committee, but strategy involves the whole board, and I think that's been a good thing. In that, we do have, apart from our four board meetings, we do have some days Scott and I will call a strategy session. We've had a number of them during the year when issues arrive, that it'll be just totally strategy driven, a meeting. But this, every board meeting, we do have a strategy session. So Scott, that's working well. Do you think? Do you think that's a good thing to have?
Yes.
And gives you guidance of where the staff and what you should be doing?
Thanks, Sinclair. It's been excellent, to be honest. And I think it can be, a board meeting can get very easily into the detail. And we need our directors to be thinking over the horizon. What are the strategic challenges? What's coming at us that we can't foresee? What are some of the underlying changes? So I think it's been very helpful to get directors to think more broadly about the bigger playing field that we deal with. And certainly as management, it's been very helpful to have those insights as well.
Yeah, I found when I first came on the board is that some of the board meetings we got bogged down in operational matters. And, you know, we need oversight of operational matters, but we got a bit of bogged down. So I think by introducing a strategy session, it really gave the board a better purpose for what they're there for doing. And it's been great. But the strategy session went for 2 hours. So a big part of our meeting is the strategy session. And it was really looking at the space that we've been talking a lot about, is genetic evaluation of Angus cattle. And it's a really interesting space and moving space, and there's a number of reasons for that. And Angus Australia has been a little bit disturbed for a number of years that we're not getting the work done, the research work done quick enough. We feel that possibly we're not getting good enough value for our members in our genetic evaluation. So we looked at, about 5 years ago, the board set up an internal genetic evaluation, and we were running some research traits through that. So our members identified traits such as mature body condition score that they wanted to use, but we couldn't get the research done quick enough. So we ran our own evaluation for mature body condition score, and that now is part of TACE. So it's important to remember that TACE is a mix of different genetic evaluations. Breed plan is the dominant number of traits in TACE. And then we also use Angus genetic for traits such as mature body condition score, mature cow height. We've got research breeding values in the background run by Angus genetic, which includes coat type. And then also a number of years ago, we had a few problems with our structural EBVs, and we could not get them genomically enhanced. So we collaborated with America, so AGI, do our structural traits. So that goes into our TACE. So TACE, in fact, it shows the results of genetic evaluations of three different genetic evaluation models, which is breed plan, Angus genetic, and AGI. So it's important that the board and our members get their head around that. And also very important to understand that Angus genetic is there, that it can address members' needs quite quickly, and we can run some in-house evaluations for certain traits on a needs basis, and we can run it quite efficiently. So Angus genetic, we could run daily, but it was weekly what we're running it at, and our other analysis are fortnightly. So we really feel that the board feels that weekly analysis is really important for our members, because, you know, people need information pretty quickly, and especially when you're waiting for some genomic tests and some other data to flow through. We feel weekly is a really sweet spot. The weekly analysis for traits is really important for us. Part of the genetic evaluation space, we have a genetic evaluation consultants committee, and it's chaired by Frank Archer, and really appreciate our member engagement there is we have consultative committees for genetic evaluation, Angusura benchmarking, youth development and northern development. They're very, very important things for the board and senior staff to get some feedback from outside. And so we'd like to thank those committees for their help. And so with Angus Genetic is moving forward is that we're working with our consultative committees and to get feedback and from our members to move forward and what are the best genetic evaluation tools for our members and what's the best value. And it's a really interesting space to be in, but probably the most important space that we control our destiny of our genetic evaluation. And as I said before, genetic evaluation, a good genetic evaluation system leads to genetic improvement by using registered Angus bulls and identifying the correct registered Angus bulls to use. So it's really important that we get that right. Scott, I don't know if you want to talk about a little bit more about your thoughts on genetic evaluation.
Yeah, thanks, Sinclair. It's a very fast-moving space and at times we can draw criticism sometimes for decisions that we make. Sometimes we can't fully talk about everything in the public domain that we'd like to. But Sinclair, yeah, there's a few things going on there. We have in the Angus Genetic is an excellent tool, and it gives us a lot of capability as you've described going forward. We're looking forward to being able to use that for efficiency of members in a range of ways. We've also got a challenge at the moment, and we'll call it a challenge because we're not sure where we land on this yet, but in the genetic evaluation space, the MLA has described as a critical objective to produce a multi-breed genetic evaluation for the Australian beef industry. As yet, we don't have a lot of clarity with what that looks like. Now, MLA have been very good in terms of we've had a couple of early meetings and we're requesting some more information from the MLA, but it's hard to know how does that affect the Angus breed, and that's why the Angus Society exists, is to have the right tools for Angus cattle going forward. So that's a space that we're trying to negotiate and work through at the present time. And members should know that that's not an easy journey, that one, but we're working very hard to stay abreast of those developments, I guess. We've got that consolidation of genomic providers and also we've got other analysis that you'll see pop up from time to time that compete with industry analysis. So, yeah, there's a lot going on in that space, Sinclair, and it's dominating a lot of the board thinking time. It's a lot of my time, our COO, Carl Tessling, a lot of his time, and we're very thankful for his knowledge in the space. But, yeah, it's almost week by week that it's changing, Sinclair.
Yeah, no, certainly, Scott. I'd just also like to add that our commercial producers, our commercial members, we've improved the heifer and steer select commercial tools. Now they're underpinned by Angus Genetic. So they've got a lot more data or reference population that's for heifer select and steer select. So Angus Genetic is driving those commercial products that we're getting out there to help our commercial producers. And heifer select can be a very valuable tool, and steer select can be too. But having that overreaching reference population makes it probably a better tool for analysis than what it was before. In saying that, our past heifer select, it was good, but we need to continually improve our genetic evaluation services. And by having Angus Genetic, we're able to identify the issues and move quite nimbly and improve our services for our members, which is really important. What does excite me is also steer select. And I think validating those high-end Angus brands, especially with this breed content rules changing or descriptions changing, I think steer select has got a really good place in those higher Angus content brands, and I think that's a pretty exciting space too. And really, it's a tool that we want our processors and our feedlotters to use at a very, very value price, and which will create premiums to their brands. So I think it's very exciting space, don't you think, Scott?
Well, I think it's a really fast moving space, and we think potentially this year we could have a world first from Angus Australia in terms of breed brand verification by DNA. And I think what that'll do is really underpin consumer confidence. It's not a subjective assessment any longer, but there's actually a real objective alternative. And I presented that work to Ausmate last year. They're very excited about that. Several of the processes we've spoken to already are very excited about it because they've got high content Angus brands that they would like verified and get the recognition in the marketplace. So we think this is going to be a really good program going forward.
Yeah, that's right. So, I'd also like to talk about member consultation and where the board fits with everything, is it? There's times that the board, we're elected to make decisions for the membership in the best interests of Angus Australia, and we get as much consultation as we can. And going forward with Angus Genetic is that we probably need even more discussion with our members and make sure our members understand that where we're heading and what they want. And going forward, we're going to have a good day at the AGM, and we're going to have another webinar coming up with Angus Genetic. And we really encourage our membership to ask questions to on strategy to our board members and operational to Carl or Scott, and have discussions and feedback and going forward, because I find sometimes people can come to conclusions without understanding the full picture. So we really need to, as Angus Australia, we need to take all our members on the journey with us, and it's really important that we work together as an organisation for the benefit of the Angus breed. So we look forward to having as many members on the next webinar and at the AGM to discuss our genetic evaluation going forward.
Sinclair, if I can just add the comment there, sometimes we'll draw criticism from different quarters, but in this regard, releasing Angus genetic figures in parallel to TACE, I think it's been an excellent decision by the board, because we can have our members evaluate the new Angus genetic figures without the pressure of them being in a sale catalogue straight away. We didn't take away their resources. The TACE values are there, and we recommend that they be used this year thoroughly, as they always have been. And it's a good chance this year for people to evaluate the two sets of figures, and essentially with Angus genetic, we're really looking for that feedback. Do they adequately describe your Angus cattle? And I think that's an important point that sometimes gets overlooked. I think we took the hard decision, Sinclair, which was to have parallel programs, but I think it's probably the best for the membership. And I've had comment from other breeds that have suggested that we've done the right thing by the breed. So not always an easy decision for the board, is it, Sinclair?
No, but I'm very happy with the decision. I'm very happy that more of our members know about our internal evaluation. I felt that it was sort of there, but no one knew that was there. It didn't even understand that our internal evaluation was running traits such like mature body condition score. And also now that it's running heifer and steer select, it's very important that our members know it exists and to have some very robust discussions going forward. So it's very important. I feel that the members are part of the journey. So, and on that, I think the other misunderstanding is that I have to understand TACE is a display of traits from currently three different genetic evaluation services, but it is the display that we encourage people to put on their sale catalogue. So in fact, going forward, we could still have the one Angus Australia display, but it can have a hybrid display of genetic evaluations, or it could have one evaluation. It just depends, you know, what we feel is the best evaluation of what's the best way forward. So it's very important to realise that.
Sinclair, we've covered a fair bit from that board, but is there anything else you'd like to say that the board considers at these meetings?
Yeah, probably for me and a number of board members, it's with genomic enhanced technology, it's really changed the way we think and how our commercial industry thinks. It creates a lot of opportunities for our members, but there are some possible threats with genomic technology. The one that really sticks to me, and I think about this often, is that how we value the phenotypes that our members have collected over many years. I feel that data that our members have collected and collectively unite in Angus Australia is really our strength, and that needs to be very, very highly valued and respected. by the industry and even by our members. Don't underestimate your contribution to the phenotypes, because we can have a genomic enhanced tool, but it's only as good as our members' collection of data. So we really need to use that for the members' benefits. It's very important, note to say, is that Angus Australia and its members have collected this data, and we need to use that to benefit the people that have collected the data. So going forward, there might be different ways how you value phenotypes. I think with genomics enhanced technologies, I think there will be more of a loop around through our Angus commercial members for some hard-to-measure traits. So traditionally there's been our seed stock members have collected all the data. It's been pushed in the analysis, but I think there's going to be a loop with our data from seed stock to the analysis used by a commercial producer, but also commercial producers actually putting some phenotypes back into the Angus Australia analysis. So it's going to be a whole of industry approach. And the other thing is, we talk about all the time is promoting the use of registered Angus bulls and what are the benefits of registered Angus bulls. And the marketing campaign that we're doing at the moment is registered Angus bulls. Use registered Angus bulls. We don't need surprises, because it's very difficult to make genetic improvement if you have surprises. And the idea is, if we have a good genetic evaluation system and people use registered Angus bulls, it'll be a lot more reliable to make genetic improvement, which leads to genetic profitability and sustainability. So I probably that's my points really that I think about a lot and the board think about.
Yeah, no, thanks, Sinclair. I think I just want to underline that unregistered bulls issue to the membership as well. It gets raised with us from time to time by members, more than time to time, quite frequently, and we take it really seriously. There's no silver bullet to fix the problem, but we think about it strategically. We've got the registered Angus bull campaign underway at the moment, but yeah, I would like our members to know that we still very strongly support registered Angus bulls for making good genetic progress, and it's very front of mind for management and the board to identify that.
The other thing I wanted to raise, and I spoke to you this before the World Angus Forum, is that we need to be very responsible how we promote the Angus brand, and it is very important to develop these premiums for Angus and what is in the strength of Angus. And reliability is a big part of the strength of Angus. It's a reliable and use of registered Angus bulls flows down to more reliable Angus commercial cattle. So reliability is a big thing. We need to promote the idea that Angus cattle are actually good for the environment. We're turning off cattle that are very, their weight for age is good. So a high fertility is great for the environment, and high weight for age is great for the environment. That we're able to we're turning Angus cattle off now 10 to 12 months earlier for the same carcass. So it's really important that we promote Angus as not only reliable, but it's nutritious, it's high eating quality, and it's good for the environment. It's good for sustainability. It's really important that Angus Australia plays a part in that promotion. And not only Angus Australia, is that we work with other organisations all over the world, because Angus is a world brand name. And it's very important that we have good associations with other Angus organisations all over the world and work together to show the consumers in the world the strength of the Angus brand.
Thanks, Sinclair. It is a really important point, and the board is doing some solid thinking in that regard going forward, and hopefully later this year we'll have some good outcomes there. Sinclair, getting towards the end of our time, is there any other messages that you'd like to give the Angus Australia membership before we finish up?
Firstly, I'd like to thank Scott, you as our CEO, but in our role as directors, is that you're our employee, and then you employ the rest. So we have as President of Angus Australia, I do a lot with Scott, the chairman of the board, do a lot with Scott as CEO. And so our communication is through our CEO. We have oversight of what's going on, but Scott, thank you for for really the work that you're doing. And I know Scott and I probably talk every 2 days, and I know there's a lot of things that are happening all the time, and Scott's really works hard and achieving the strategic plan of Angus Australia. So thank you, Scott, and thank you to all your staff. It's you do a great job. The other thing I'd like to thank all our members for being part of, I mean, the members of make the organisation. We've had some, we're always going to have some dry periods in parts of Australia. At the moment, northern New South Wales is looking horrendous. And, but I do say that you need to try and stick at it and do the good things, the simple things right, and move forward. And it's a tough industry to be in, but there's some good rewards out there, and the Angus Australia family is really, really important, and it's the people that make the Angus work. It's not, I mean, we've got the good Angus cattle, but it's the people that are out there continually improving the Angus breed, and it's really important that we work together as an organisation to keep improving the Angus brand.
Thanks, Sinclair. And look, thank you for your kind words, Sinclair. That's very appreciated. Probably one thing Sinclair can't say is the board has a big workload. All the directors looking around the table have got a great heart for the breed, starting with Sinclair. And I'm sure Sinclair's, when he finishes as president, his farm will be pleased to see him again, because he's put a hell of a lot of time into talking with people, meetings, talking with me, guiding the organisation. It's a big time commitment to be president, and he takes that role extremely seriously and very much sees himself as the steward and custodian of the breed for his tenure. In terms of the whole board, there's 4 board meetings a year. The lead up to each one, there's about 5 committee meetings. Generally, the board papers are about 200 pages. There's a lot of reading, a lot of thinking. A lot of people will ring board members and talk, and it's a voluntary role. So that's time away from their farms and their businesses. So it's a two-way street. We appreciate the volunteer nature of the directors and the great heart for the Angus breed. So probably coming up, you've got, by the time this podcast comes out, there's a couple of elections. There's Western Australia election and a national election, so I encourage members to look out for that and to be involved with the process. But yeah, from a CEO point of view, we've got a great group of directors led by Sinclair as president and Peter Collins as vice president, and they're doing a great job for the breed. So it's been great to have you on, Sinclair, and I think great for the members to sort of maybe get a bit better understanding of the board and the process and what goes on, and we'll make this a more of a regular feature after each board meeting.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. And just like to reiterate that I've really enjoyed working with our board. We have some really frank discussions. A lot of thought goes through our directors' heads to the benefit of Angus Australia. And, I'd like to just personally thank our Vice Chairman Pete Collins, Simone Bond, Ben Hill, Erica Halliday, Andrew Kuss, Simon Faulkner, James Laurie, Ed Archer and Ben Tornana. I really appreciate everything you've done, and I've really enjoyed working and being part of your team.
No, thank you, Sinclair. Sinclair, would you give us a couple of cheeky questions at the finish? Sinclair, if you didn't mind, what's your best beef eating experience you've ever had, Sinclair?
I think I probably had it on Easter Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
It was, yeah, which I know the beef gets better, but probably my cooking getting better as well. But we had some friends and family on Easter Sunday, and it was a Marble Score 3 Angus, just outstanding. And as I've said to many people before, and then you have with good company, Marble Score, Cubral Angus with Barossa Shiraz, and good company, you can't beat it, mate.
Oh, so, that's great. Yeah. Was it a Burramooka steer? Do you know, Sinclair?
Well, well, it is into a program that we sell to, so that's a very – I get that question when I serve it every time, and I say highly likely. But
That's great.
Highly likely.
Oh, that's great, Sinclair. And look, you're a bit of a thinker, more than a bit of a thinker. You're quite a deep thinker, Sinclair. Any good book gems that you want to leave the list?
Oh, gee. I didn't think about the book question. I do a lot of thinking. I do a lot of reading of not so much novels, but up to date journals, papers, that sort of stuff. I do a podcast. I do a lot of walking. I used to run, but I walk now. But it's quite good for. I listen to a lot of podcasts and diverse podcasts, from finance to political podcasts to Angus podcasts from Australia and America. But yeah, so diversity, and I've just find podcasts work really well. I'm on the road a lot, around the farm, on horses, walking. So podcasts probably more than reading. I must admit, I start reading a novel at night, and I do two pages, and I'm asleep pretty quickly. But
good on you, yep. Sinclair. No, that's great. And you'll rarely send Sinclair an article that he hasn't already read. He's a great reader of the industry journals and the information you keep across everything. But look, Sinclair, it's been a pleasure to have you on this morning. You're doing a great job, and we enjoy working together. We have the odd cheeky little political discussion on our phone calls, but it's been a pleasure to work with you, Sinclair.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this episode of The Angus Table. We look forward to bringing you more conversations that support your success in the Angus breed and your farming operation. I'm Scott Wright, CEO of Angus Australia, and today's Angus Table podcast is produced by Mel Strasberg. Until next time, all the best.